What if you had the resources you needed for your mental health right at your fingertips? Imagine a world where our mental well-being is prioritized just like our physical health, and where we have access to the tools and support we need. That's exactly what the Make Mental Health Matter show is all about. Join Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a true warrior for mental health, founder of Make Mental Health Matter nonprofit, author, and wellness coach. This show is your gateway to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health. Tune in for enlightening conversations, expert insights, and empowering stories that will not only increase awareness, but also provide education about mental health. It's time to have those hard conversations, prioritize your well-being, and make your mental health matter. Your mental wellness journey starts here.
Welcome to another episode of Make Mental Health Matter, where my name is Kelly Melissa Reinhart. I am your host, and I bring guests who are either professionals in the mental health space, advocates of mental health, or those with lived experience. And if you've been watching the show for quite some time, you understand the guests that I bring on. But if you happen to be joining for the very first time, thank you for watching. And the whole point really of the show is to bring resources and information that maybe you didn't know was out there before, because this world, we have lots and lots of resources, but sometimes we just don't know that they're available. And really, truly, the whole conversation around resources and information and having access to people and listening to other stories, it helps us so that we don't feel so alone in this thing that we call life. And coaches and mentors and those that are out there speaking in the professional space can sometimes be our biggest advocates, and they can be really, really important as we go through life. I know personally, I wouldn't be where I was if I didn't enlist or have coaches and mentors in my life. They really, truly have made a difference and motivated me. And it really, who you surround yourself with really matters. And it's much better when you surround yourself with people that lift you up versus drag you down. And having a coach and a mentor in your life can really, truly help and change that idea. And so I am excited to bring my guest on for today. Let me give you a little bit of background before I bring her up. So Jen is a highly engaged, results-driven, motivational speaker and life coach on a quest to help individuals and organizations create 1% winning in their wellness through her 5-pillar wellness framework. As a former HR professional for 14 years, she is now on a quest to turn her mess into her message, empowering others and reinforcing self-care and self-worth practices. So without further ado, I'm going to bring up Jen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. I am hyped after that hype video. Kelly, great job. I'm like, let's do it. So thank you awesome. For having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to create things, and I happen to create that. So thanks. So tell the audience a little bit. I mean, I know I just shared your bio, but share a little bit about your story and what you do specifically.
Yeah. So I am a life coach and motivational speaker. I am a huge fan of the 1% shift. Instead of what was a big part of my life, and I feel societal expectations at times, right? The highlight reel, the story that's made overnight, the all or nothing. It has to be hard or it's not worth it. And for so long in my own life, that beat me up, whether it was in career, whether it was in my physical fitness, and all of that takes a huge toll on our mental wellness. So I'm a life coach who believes that it's not sexy, but I believe in a 1% principle, and that is how we build our best life. Not necessarily just focused on one element of our wellness, because reality is that it's all connected. So that is what I do. I mostly work with women in a virtual and group coaching session, one-on-ones, but then the boys, as I say, also get to play when I do my many speaking events or also work with corporations and organizations. So as you mentioned, I am on a mission to turn my mess into my message. I'm happy to share a little bit of the mess if that's kind of the way we're going as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to just ask really quickly for the people that maybe don't understand, what do you mean by the 1%?
Yeah, so the 1% shift, right? The 1% growth, it's just doing something a tad bit better aligned to our goals than we did yesterday, right? And so what we tend to do, and you know, the most basic example I'll give you, one that I lived for about 20 years, was, you know, New Year's resolution comes. And everybody has the best of intentions and the best aspirations in the world. And we tend to go all in, and it has to be hard. And, you know, it has to be time consuming, and it has to take up all of our energy. And so for me, myself, I was on what I call the defeat of the diet industry for about 20 years. I learned how to cope with food by the age of 8. Nothing against my mom. She was trying to keep me safe. But at the end of the day, I learned this from my mom, right? And it was my way of stuffing down some of the things that were going on in my life at that point, including bullying. Mm-hmm. So very often, every Monday or every year, like clockwork, I'd be like, I'm going to go do the thing, you know, and I'm going to lose 20 pounds and I'm going to, you know, eat the salad and I'm going to exercise 6 hours a day. Well, that's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. We're not built to operate in that level, especially as your life gets busier and you have a career, or maybe you're a parent, or any of the many responsibilities in our life. So instead of that approach, I believe in just the 1% thing, right? So can I just start this morning by saying something kind about myself, right? Can I start this morning about being grateful about something my body can do, right? Can I start this morning by just going on a 5-minute walk? So that's what I'm referring to when I refer to the 1%.
Nice. Yeah. And that makes so much sense. And interestingly, my guest last week, we actually kind of started talking about nutrition and how sometimes when our parents say certain things, even as a young child, it really like gets ingrained in our body and it manifests into these different behaviors that go throughout our life. So I would love for you to share even more about your story.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I am a parent, and a lot of the things we do say, and again, nothing, now being a 40-year-old woman who was also a parent, I understand where my mom was coming from, but some of those things are still, you know, kind of inbred. And so it's taken some work and some awareness to kind of bring that to light. But so just to take you back story real quick, I am a first generation in the United States. Both of my parents came from Cuba. And my father was a political prisoner in Cuba. He was actually incarcerated for 12 years. He, you know, got himself in a pickle, I'll call it that, way before he met me or my mom. And he did finally get released and then met my mom, and then they got amnesty from the US government. Okay. So some of the things that I'm gonna share with you now are not things that I was necessarily aware of when I was that age. But I've done a lot of work and processing, and now, you know, it's kind of coming through. So as I connect the dots, just know that there is no shame in this process, right? It takes time. And so for me at that point, everything was super scary to my parents. I mean, they were in a new country, full of uncertainty, not quite knowing what the societal norms were. So everything was scary, especially for my mother. So when I came into this world, I very quickly got given the lens of people are scary, things are scary, you have to stay safe. That means you stay in the house and you pretty much don't go anywhere. Well, that didn't necessarily do a whole lot of good for my confidence. And then it also leaked into certain parts of my life where now I see kids, and I think it's a majority of children, who get to experience life outdoors. They get to go ride on the bike. They get to, you know, take swim lessons. I didn't have that kind of upbringing because everything was scary. So by the age of 8, I was, you know, I was in mainstream kind of elementary school in Miami, Florida, where I was born. And I still don't speak English. So in addition to everything is scary, now I don't know my place in the world because I am very different than everyone else. So what ended up happening was I very quickly took the backseat in most things in my life, most things in society, most things in the way I showed up with other kids. By the age of 8, my father was also getting very much sick. And so my dad was 49 when he had me. again, building into that sense of like, nobody gets me. Like, that's not my granddad. That's my dad. Why do I have to explain things all the time? Right. So my dad's health starts to decline. There was a lot of love around food in my home. And what I mean by that was showing love. So my mom would always offer me a second plate. We didn't have a lot, but we didn't have enough food. And then the second question she would always ask me from a place of fear is, when are you going to lose the weight? Because if you don't look a certain way, then you're not going to be accepted by society. I didn't know that at that point, right? It's no ill to her, but that is a little bit of what was going on behind the scenes. So as you know, I'm feeling a pretty significant lack of belonging. I'm realizing that my dad is not doing very well and I was very close to him. I learned how to cope with food. And I think as we get older in our lives, or maybe even some of us by the age of, you know, really young, we learn things that change our state. We learn things that help us to not feel the feel so big. And so for me at that point, it was Little Debbie snacks. Loved all the Little Debbie snacks. And so what ended up bleeding into, unfortunately, to further kind of make the story more of a mess, is I ended up in middle school, like we all do, and middle school's hard. And then all the kids tell you all the things that you don't want to hear. And so for me, my weight had ballooned quite a bit. So that was the world I was living in. I don't belong. I am bullying bullied. Nobody gets me at home. My dad is sick. I don't really want to burden him with it. Mom's working. She's not really home. So where am I? And I very quickly found myself in a vacuum of silence, not knowing what to do with it, other than what I call the itty bitty shitty committee. The voice in my head was very loud. And so that's a bit of kind of what was going on there through my middle school, high school years. But I really wouldn't be able to shake it off till about 6 years ago. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I love how you encompass, I mean, the feelings, right? Because right. It's, this is where I was at. And it translated even into adulthood and having to, well, not having, but working through what that was when you were younger and then how it translated into adulthood. And understanding where an 8-year-old and a middle schooler is coming from. Mm-hmm. And I love how you also, I mean, middle school is hard. That's like really hard age. You have hormones, first and foremost. Kids are not really the nicest because they have all the hormones going on too. And it can be a really, really hard time. And then you insert bullying and all these other things and your dad is sick and you don't know where you fit. And that can be a really tough place to be in life. And I think it's incredible now hearing your story, where you are today and what you're doing to help others, really, and being visible, which is amazing.
Awesome. Absolutely. You know, I think a couple of things that you said earlier that really, really resonated with me. Most of us will feel alone until somebody's brave enough to speak up about it, regardless of what it is. So part of the goal here is really, regardless of what you might be going through, there is someone else who can understand. It can be hard to really talk about it and share about it and being open, and vulnerability is courage. But, or I should say, and somebody gets it. So we have to start somewhere. We just have to start somewhere. And maybe it's a scary email. Maybe it's a scary phone call. Maybe it's somebody who you're texting. You're just like, I just really need to talk. Maybe that's where it starts. But it needs to start somewhere in order for us to kind of come together and understand each other's society. I also noticed on your hype video where it said something along the sense of you're on a mission to save the world. I am as well. And I think the more that we can all step into our worthiness, because we are all worthy and live in it, then the better off we will be as a society. And as you mentioned, it also starts with one. Sometimes it's just one conversation. Kelly, I don't know if you're aware of the starfish story.
I am, yes. Okay. I just found it recently, actually.
So I'll tell it real quick for those who are listening and the viewers. But essentially, you know, there's probably different variations, but there's this little boy who's just walking along, a beach, and he's bending down and he's picking up these starfish that have come up with the tide. And he's just throwing them back in one at a time. Just going down the beach, right? And he's just throwing in one at a time. And all of a sudden, somebody comes behind them and says, dude, what are you doing? Like, these starfish are going to come back over here. And they're just, this is what you're going to have to do forever if you want to keep this up. you're really making a difference. And the little boy stops and says, well, I made a difference for that one. That's where it starts, y'all. And again, back to the 1%, it does not need to be big and bold. You don't have to be a speaker. You don't have to be a life coach. You don't have to be a therapist. You don't have to be those things that sometimes we resort to for help. All great resources. Sometimes you just have to be there for someone by sharing your own story.
And stories are so, I mean, I've had multiple guests on here that we've talked about their story, but also how stories play a factor and being able to share your experience. And I do oftentimes also talk about how your experience is going to be very different from my experience. Even if we're in the same experience, it'll be very different depending on how we look at it. From our own lens of the world. And also going back to kind of what you were saying about your parents, they did the best that they could with the resources that they had, right? Like they had this background that was very fearful. They had this experience that was not good. And so that translated into raising you in this new country that they just weren't familiar and but going based off of what their experience was in the past. And it wasn't anything that they intentionally tried to instill in you by any means. But I think that you being able now to encompass like what that meant and how you've been able to work through the emotions, knowing that it hasn't been that long since you really started going through this process. But the question that popped into my head is, what was it like 6 years ago that started to make that shift?
Yeah. I'll give you a couple more tidbits as kind of what happened in between, right? Yeah. And then we'll kind of go from there. So my dad was diagnosed with terminal kidney failure and he did not want a transplant. So while, again, all of these things are being connected now, while at that point, I probably couldn't have said like, we knew he was going to pass, but I don't think at that point I was experiencing what I would have probably called this grief, but I was, because there was going to be an end date. And the end date was not going to be 20 years from now after I had kids and the family and all the things, right? The end date was in the foreseeable future. So I lost my father my first semester in college. I'm a diehard, crazy college Gator fan. I went to the University of Florida. And so that was a big life experience, but also that first semester, there was a lot of grief tied into it. And in addition to that, then I also had a huge, like, who am I moment when I was 19 and ended up coming out to myself. So there's all these different factors that were going on into, like, who am I? Why am I here? What's my identity? Where do I belong? Who are my people? That took a lot of work and honestly some trial and error. You know, joining some groups and doing some things that I was like, yeah, I'm not quite sure that served me. But in the moment, it felt like the right thing. So all to say, like for most of us, this is a ever-changing process. As we get older in our lives and have more experiences, there are going to be moments that will likely impact our identity. And the question is, where do we go from there, right? So what ended up happening for me about 6 years ago, I, based on the way that I was growing up and like the physical constraints of safety and things I couldn't do and things that I was not capable of doing because I just never learned, I was extremely scared of doing most things that were physical. Like going to the gym was fine, but I had to go to the gym by myself. Nobody can see me. Okay. Now, as you can see, I'm kind of an extroverted person, so that likely was never going to work out sustainably. But it was always this attempt of, I'll go try the thing. It needs to be alone because if I don't, then people are going to say bad things about me. Okay. So every once in a while, because marketing works, right? That's what a part of the reason we're here for visibility marketing, right? Is I would see these commercials about really cool group fitness classes. And I was like, man, that could be really cool. But no, right? So then I'd go find all the excuses under the sun as to why it was not going to work and talk myself out of it. We're really, really good at talking ourselves out of things. So ultimately, one day I was like, to heck with this. I'm just going to show up. Funny enough, it was on April Fool's Day, which will be just in a couple of days based on what we're recording this. On April Fool's Day of 2018, I finally walked into a group fitness class through a very well-known kind of studio. That changed my life. And the reason it did is because I started to build confidence. I started to believe that I could. And when you start telling yourself things there may be in conflict with the current voices in your head and you start doing those things, that's why I'm a big fan of habits, those things happen. And when they happen, they get to change your life. So ultimately, my story real quick is I ended up at this group fitness class. My whole motto at that point was not about like what I was looking to achieve physically. It was literally point the car in the right direction. That was my 1%. Point the car in the right direction. Well, enough of pointing the car in the right direction. You eventually get to the next step and the next step and you eventually show up and you're like, okay, cool. That was fine. That was good. Like I liked some moments in there. And so that's why I'm a big fan of celebration. You pointed the car in the right direction, celebrate the heck out of that. Okay. You ended up going to the thing that you meant to go to the thing, celebrate the heck out of that, right? You ended up like every single step, instead of what it could have been, think about what it is and celebrate the heck out of that. So for me, it took a couple months, but part of what you do in this group fitness class is rowing. I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not meant to be a crew rower, like physically, but I loved the rower. And there was this coach who came up to me about 6 months into that class and tapped on my rower and said, Jen, you're a great rower. I was looking over my shoulder like there's plenty of Jens in the world. She can't be talking about me, okay? But I realized she did. And then it's funny when somebody gives you a perspective of something else, you're like, maybe I can validate this. How can I validate what she just said? And I started to look around the class and I started to realize that when there was like a certain meter row, 500 meter row, I would be in the middle. I wasn't in last place. Like I typically found myself in other sporting, you know, kind of activities. And it started to build that confidence. And then I thought, well, maybe if I'm in 50%, I can be in 25. So then pointing the car in direction was a no-brainer because I wanted to get there, right? I wanted to do the thing. And so that's essentially how it happened. I started to build a lot of confidence. And then I said, well, hold on. This thing doesn't just have to live here in these four walls in this place. Maybe I can take this and I can go to my career and have HR conversations about this. Maybe I can have conflict resolution skills, right? And talk to leaders about what we can create together in the corporate environment. Maybe I can build this into my household. And that's what happens, Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it a step back, and I haven't mentioned too much of this. Maybe we'll go into it a little bit further. I have been lucky enough to find and receive, because I think you have to be open to receiving it as well, several mentors in my life, several guiding lights in my life, that when I was willing to listen, take just a moment, slow down and listen, they had the nugget. They had the message that I needed to hear. But I needed to be able to trust themselves, but also me, that it was okay to get help, that it was okay to receive a message that was different than what I was feeling. So that's a little bit of what happened in this group fitness setting 6 years ago. And since then, life has changed. I mean, left corporate America doing the thing, now a life coach. So here we are.
Nice. And I want to touch on a couple things that you said, but we're going to go to a quick sponsored break. Okay. And then once we come back, we will chat about those. So we'll be right back after this quick sponsor break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Make Mental Health Matter. Support BCEvolution.org, a nonprofit organization in Aurora, Colorado, and assist by donating, volunteering, or shopping our merch. Either way helps us develop programs and events, help us increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. Become a mental health warrior and find out why it matters. Go to BCCEvolution.org now or email us support@BCCEvolution.org and make mental health matter.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And like that, we're back. So if you happen to be joining us, thank you so much for watching the Make Mental Health Matter show. I am talking with Coach Jen, and we are chatting about her story through life and how really, as even young as 8 years old, she started having this fear around just everything in general and really not wanting to go out into life, also having feelings from her parents really because of their experience in the past with their life and the trauma that they or traumatic experience that they went through. But coming to Florida and really not wanting to be a part of society, I'm totally summarizing, but just moving into this place of understanding now. We're talking a lot about also the relationship with food and identity and what all of this means and how it is encompassed into your story. Something that you mentioned before we went to break is that what was kind of the catalyst was starting to go to the gym, learning. And at first you were like, no, I can't go with anybody. People are going to judge me. Like, I have to do this on my own. But then you were like, wow, these group classes look really cool. So then you transitioned into this rowing class and you were like, oh, maybe I am good at what I'm doing, and starting to build this confidence, which again, it's, I love how my guests end up kind of like falling on top of each other, not intentionally, but ultimately what we were talking about, because my last guest, they help youth athletes. And he talked a lot about this confidence and how they build in confidence more so than like the speed and the endurance. It's really all about confidence and trust and having a coach or a mentor that can help you get to that place. And you talked about that too, is how can I validate what this coach just said to me that I am good at rowing? And as you start to validate that, it builds more and more confidence and you really start to see yourself in a different light. So that was, again, a little brief wrap up, but go back and watch the rest if you're just joining us. So now you've gotten to this place that you are doing the thing, basically, right? And then keep going.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think part of what I mentioned, I just kind of wanted to reinforce again is, I'll say it in a different way. As humans, we love to be right. We just love to be right. And so we are constantly looking for experiences, things, people who validate those things, right? Helps us feel in community and collectively together. So when somebody comes in with a different message, you're like, what am I going to do with this, right? And I think many of us can tend to push away from it. But I think one of the things that has really served me is the opportunity to listen to a different perspective and say, if they were to be right, what would that look like? So, you know, I just mentioned this coach, and her name is Coach Ann. Pretty generic name, so I'll mention it on here. But if she ever listens, that'd be super cool. But beyond that, you know, I've had multiple mentors, whether it was, you know, my parents, like, education was key, right? You got to go to college, do the thing, stay in the seat, retire, et cetera. Well, great. But how the heck do I do that? Like, you don't have the experience to teach me how to do that. Most of the people I'm associating with don't know how to do that. So how do we do that? And so I've had multiple mentors who have shown up. So again, to my point, if you're listening to this, you probably already starting to think a little differently. But I just advise that maybe sometimes it's asking yourself a different question, or it's validating something you are starting to learn and grow from. Okay, we don't have to have all the answers. That's why we're a collective group of people. But so essentially what ends up happening next is I was doing very well in a HR career. I was typically known as the HR manager who was not going to play in her own sandbox. What that means is I'm going to do the thing with you. Like, I'm here to create like empowerment and engagement and do the thing together. So I loved getting out into the field, or what I used to call the trade, and whether, you know, whatever company I was working for, work alongside employees. And that's where I would get a data to be like, okay, let's go do the thing, or let's empower each other, let's build each other up. So I worked for a couple different orgs. And then about 2.5 years ago, I did the crazy thing, right? The crazy thing that if you look at statistically, everybody's like, you're going to fail. But if it were to work, what would that look like? And that's where I usually end up in trouble, Kelly. Okay. So did the thing 2.5 years ago, I built a business. And then I ended up leaving corporate America after that. Huge leap. Statistically, again, when you look at it, you're thinking, what the heck am I doing? And why is this me? I have had a lot of moments in my life where it's like, why me? Out of everybody else, why the heck me? Right. And I do have to say, I think spiritually, universally, my connection is to my father, and he has a lot to do with it. So sometimes I tell my dad to chill out because I can only put so many things on my plate. But about 15 months ago, big shift happened. And 9 months ago, I became a solopreneur. And then really leaned into the fact that the message is great. I love doing group coaching. I love doing one-on-one sessions with my clients. But there's so many of us, and there's so much work to be done, and there's so much impact to create. And that's really where I leaned into becoming a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. I geek out a little bit there because some really cool things have happened. And so I'll share if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and I'll take you a step back as well. I think for some of us, sometimes, like I mentioned, it's a little bit of trial and error. So processing my father's death was a big, big thing for me. Again, I don't have any siblings, so I didn't have a similar story I could relate to. My mom at one point got remarried, and so like life went on, and I still was like, what do I do with this? So I ended up doing something that I, you know, again, some people are like, don't do that thing, Jen. Y'all, if it feels good, it's intuitive, you're kind, and you're safe, go try it, okay? And what I ended up doing was I took the stage at a public storytelling event here in Denver. They are all over the United States and I believe the world, called The Moth. It's a podcast. And so for that storytelling event, they give you a topic, and my topic was endings. It was happened to be Father's Day weekend. This was universally aligned. I'm going to call it that. It did not go out to I didn't put these pieces together. And then I told 350 people in an auditorium about my dad and his story and how I showed up, all in a 5-minute story. And that was like, okay, maybe I can breathe now a little bit better. And so that's a little bit of what continues to help me do the crazy thing and the scary thing sometimes of speaking. So lately, I found myself really working with nonprofits and organizations to share the message of empowerment and self-care. Most recently, I have a relationship with a local correctional facility where I am coming in and I am helping their women, many who have not been really ever seen in their life, understood, loved unconditionally, to finally step into the power that they can be worthy, that they can be loved, that they can love themselves, that they can show up for themselves, even in this constricting, for lack of a better word, because it's behind bars, environment. You can still do some pretty awesome things for yourself and for others. So I leaned into this 9-month program. As life would have it, they said, hey, there's no budget. I said, well, if there were, what would I do? So no budget, that's fine. Jen went out and I created a fundraiser for it. So that is something that is going on here locally in Denver as well. And then recently have also found myself talking to some homes for teenage moms. For moms who have had to make some really difficult decisions very early on in their life and very quickly lose their community. And very quickly, stereotypes and judgment are placed on them. So for lack of a better word, I think I'm at a little bit to, maybe this doesn't resonate, maybe it does, to show the underdog that a different story can be written. And taking, again, my mess into my message. So some of the speaking events have led me there and it's been super cool.
That's amazing. And congratulations. I know it is not an easy feat. Myself, I also went from corporate into my nonprofit full time, which was scary, scary, scary. And took a ginormous pay cut, right? Mm-hmm. To go from corporate into nonprofit. And it's one of those things that I myself too didn't align with what corporation was trying to do and what I was trying to accomplish in my nonprofit, right? I knew that there was a bigger story or role that I played, nor did I ever think that I would be a professional speaker. Stepping on stage was like not a thing that I ever wanted to. Had a friend that ultimately I went to their event and they're like, hey, come talk about your nonprofit. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Right.
But has led into some really amazing things, like you just said, is being connected in different ways that you didn't think would or you would be connected, and then getting opportunities that align with your story but helping others. And I love that you are really looking to show the underdogs or the people that aren't seen, heard, or understood, because right, there are a lot, and especially women, like you were saying, in the correctional facility, that they have a story why they got there. And
right,
probably a lot of it is that they weren't understood or seen. And you being able to help them is really powerful. And then also translating that into speaking on stages and sharing your message, which feels like a mess, but I think you have a really great container that you've put it into, because it can be vulnerable sharing our stories. It can be challenging to make it, for me at least, right? Like with the loss of my sister to suicide, mm-hmm, I have a challenging time sometimes. I have to be aware of the audience, but I've gotten to a point that I share it and sometimes it catches me. Sometimes I get really emotional. Sometimes I can talk about her till I'm blue in the face, but also you have to know like what your audience, and you can be vulnerable. And that's the cool part, because then we start to make those connections. We start to help others. And I think through our vulnerability, that's where we make those true connections and where we can actually really start to help people. So I love the fact that you are really stepping in and have into this confidence, into this trust of yourself, this new identity of having more extroverted energy than introverted energy. And I think it is, it's all about an energy and how do we balance that, and how do we also in turn help others through what we went through, showing them that they're not alone and we all have a story, and coaches and mentors and speakers can really truly make an impact on a lot of people's lives in a big, big way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned vulnerability again, and I hope it's a word that as a society, we are learning to be more at comfort with. Because it can bring up a lot of feelings, right? And feelings are okay. There is space for feelings. There's space for being real and transparent. And, you know, many of us may have grown up, I know I did to a certain extent, suck it up. Other people have it worse than you. Be grateful for this. Gratitude's huge, but not gratitude and shame. Mm-hmm. And so if that is some of the messaging that you are either giving yourself or that you are receiving from others very consistently, just know that vulnerability is actually courage. It's showing up and being strong. And likely, depending on where you are, where you might be listening to this, going against the grain. Many of us, I think, you know, it's come a long way, but many of us, We know that, you know, traditional medicine, you have a broken arm, you go to the doctor, you get a cast on, and, you know, life goes on. But yet when we start speaking our truth and the things that go on in here and in here, in our minds and our hearts, there's a lot of, I shouldn't say that, maybe I'm not ready, who's going to be willing to listen to it, suck it up kind of mentality. This thing, your brain, creates your life. It creates all in it. And for many of us, you know, you have this concept of somebody has a, you know, you live your life at a cup half full or cup half empty. I think when you look at most situations, each and every one of us has gone through something. And so the question is, what makes the cup half full or cup half empty? Sometimes I get the whole, like, Jen, you've been through a lot, you know, lost your daughter at 18, you know, you still made it, all this stuff. I also was very much grew up alongside a man who, even though he had gone through things, thought the world was great and he was extremely positive and he was always going to make it. He's going to be healthy. And some of those things, quote unquote, it's fake it till you make it, or what I call in my program, act as if. Mm. And I learned that from him, right? I also learned from him that vulnerability was important. So I would just ask you again, and the whole thing of, like, you know, I think you mentioned it earlier, Kelly, we normalize behaviors of the people that we're around. So if you want to be a certain way, or like, you are likely have the behaviors of the five people you spend most of your life with. Are those behaviors serving you or not? Are those thoughts serving you or not? Because mental health is real. What happens here is real. And we've normalized going to get a cast or going to have surgery. It's time we step into the fact that this, our brain, right? Our thoughts, our feelings, they create our life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You like speak my language 100%.
That's why we're here, Kelly.
Right. We have to go to one more quick sponsored break, but when we get back, we'll chat a little bit more about that. So we'll be right back after this quick sponsored break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. to empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And like that, we're back again. So thank you so much for having these open conversations, really about mental health and identity and your story and how you're helping people as a coach and really motivating people, women and men, all the guys, to really start to look at what is your story, what is your perspective, what is that, how do we fit in that confidence piece, building this trust, building these resources. And like I said before we went to break, you're totally talking my language, because I always talk about the words that we say to ourselves and the words that we say to others is really, really important. So we have to be aware of how we are communicating with ourselves and with others. But also you talked about how we can start to shift like into gratitude. And I think that some people, and what you have said is that it's that 1%. It doesn't have to be 100%. It can be this small thing. It can be, I like to say, it could be the toothbrush that you brush your teeth with, right? It can be that simple of that small thing. And it can be these really big things, which are awesome too, but it can be small also. So I know with your program, tell us a little bit more. So when people come and work with you or they hire you as a speaker, what does that look like?
Yeah. So really what I'm out to do ultimately when I put all the pieces together is to help people understand that their then is today. So I'll give you a little bit more perspective. A lot of the folks, a lot of the conversations that I have are regarding something that folks are delaying, that they're stuck in. I call it the when-then game. When the kids grow up, then I'll take care of myself. Well, what happens in between? Or when I lose the weight or I feel more confident, then I'll take the pictures. I have about a dozen pictures of my dad because he didn't want to stand in front of a camera and rather be behind. So that doesn't do a service, right? For sometimes entrepreneurs, when my business grows to X, then I'll be legit. You are legit. You're here. And so what I help a lot of clients do is to make their then today, because we don't know when our then will be. I had a mentor about 8 years ago, more like 10 maybe, who passed away. He challenged me with the question, which was, what will you be known for? He got killed in a car accident, unfortunately. And so, Kelly, what I'm here to do is to help people step into their then, because we don't know how much time we have. So go do the thing today. Even 1%. I love how you said about the toothbrush. Okay. Even a 1% toward shift towards that. So ultimately, so many of us, and my journey did start here, but it did not end or continue here. Like, our journeys are always continuous as well. The way that I work with clients is understanding that in order to have a true healthy life, we need to have a healthy mind first. And so the five pillars of grow are pretty easy. First, we start with mental health or wellness. And I call it the be your own best friend. So the things you say, the habits you have, and the kind of the thought process regarding those, the thoughts, the feelings, the actions, et cetera. Then we step over into emotional wellness, which is key. And it's the stories that keep us stuck. And how do we bless and release, heal through them, not push against them, but become with it, giving it light and love and understanding that it doesn't have to be a continued story. Physical wellness, I think, is important. It changed my life. And I think having a physically like active body and being able to like celebrate what we can do is important. So that's also a pillar. Then we go into spiritual, which for me is finding gratitude and peace and quiet, which sometimes can be really scary for people. And that's why we end up numbing with all the things, y'all. Mm-hmm. So finding those practices that we resonate with, we don't have to do it all, right? There's a huge spectrum of like spirituality and what that means. Lean in with what you connect with. And then lastly, we end up with financial, because I think it's important to understand that money is a tool. And there's so many healings and tied to it that when we are able to release some of those, then we can show up in our worth financially as well. So that is how clients get to work with me. I love to do fun things, Kelly. I love to do activities, workshops. I'm not a speaker who likes to speak at, like, I'll speak at you. I can do it, but at the end of the day, I want to speak with you. And so workshops and facilitations, I've been hired by multiple like corporations and organizations to deliver workshops to their employees or their members regarding empowerment, courage, message to message, habits, things along those lines. And then I also try to do monthly things where I get it. Like, maybe you're not ready for one-on-one coaching. Let's start somewhere. And so for me, sometimes that means a Facebook group with a little 10-day challenge. And we lean into kind of some fun activities, starting the journey, starting the what if journey? How else can I, live a better life? What can I step into? So one of the things that I've gotten a lot of feedback is I tend to be no BS. So if somebody wants a lot of BS and a lot of like red tape to get to like breakthroughs, it's not me. But if you're looking for a coach who's going to be raw, real, and vulnerable and help you get through the stuff, that's who I am.
Awesome. Well, if somebody wants to hire you or work with you, how can they do that or find you?
Yeah. So I am a Grow with Jen B everywhere. My company actually stands, there you go, growwithgenv.com. My company actually stands for Get Ready to Own Your Worth. That is what GROW stands for. So I am GROW with Gen V on Facebook, GROW with Gen V there at the website as well. And all the things. You can easily find me online.
Awesome. And there is, if you're watching this, there's a QR code in the corner too. I know it's like, which way?
Wherever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere over there. I know. So yes, you can go to growwithgenb.com and it's JenBee.com if you happen to be listening. And if you're watching, you can scan the QR code too. So, Jen, this was amazing and I could absolutely talk with you all day long, but we are unfortunately coming to the end. Any final words that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, my last comment before I ever leave a workshop, a training, a conversation is to remind everybody that you are worthy.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Bye, y'all.
All right. That was another amazing episode of Make Mental Health Matter. I hope that this was useful information. I think it was. Man, just being able to share stories and know that you're not alone. We all go through experiences. We all do the best that we can with the resources that we have available. Sometimes we need to build in more resources. Sometimes we need to ask for help. And one thing that I was going to mention is your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And when you can mesh those two things together, then it creates this space that you can become unstoppable if that's where you want to be, or maybe you just want to shift that 1%. It doesn't have to be 100%. It can be that 1%, and you can really get to this place that you want to be, no matter what that is, by making those small steps, which I think is such an important message. So if you want to work with Jen, again, you can go find her and get more resources and information from her, or hire her as a coach or a speaker. I just think that this was an incredible conversation that we have, and one that we need to talk about. Hence the reason this whole show was created. So thank you so much for watching or listening. And whatever you do, make sure you come back next Monday. We go live on E360 TV at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. And then we also go live at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Dream Vision Radio, Dream Vision 7 Radio. So no matter how you watch this or listen, just make sure that you join us back for every single Monday, because I promise you, you do not want to miss the guests that I have lined up. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining today for the Make Mental Health Matter show. We hope you found today's episode insightful and empowering. Remember, your mental health journey doesn't end here. For more resources, support, and information, visit us online at makementalhealthmatter.org and come back every Monday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You won't forget to subscribe to our show or follow us on social media to stay connected and continue the conversation, will you? That's right. Together, let's make mental health matter. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.